We're excited. Can't wait to get started.
Live on tape at WGN TV Studios in Chicago. Festivus.
When it's over is the best. That's my favorite.
Who is Marcus Lashkat?
Less is more with him. We're going to put him in positions where he can be successful. Not a lot of thinking.
And Steve Lippo.
For the love of God, don't start Cam Newton over matchup.
Stupid!
The Fantasy Festivus.
I'm happy for Steve, and I told him I'm proud of him. I tell you what, he's always like a forgotten man.
A fantasy sports podcast for the rest of
us. Shut up.
Yo, it's week 6 of the Fantasy Football Festivus. Here in Chicago, the Bears facing a harrowing bye week, but there is plenty of stuff to get to today. We're going to answer your sit-start questions. What should you do with Danny Amendola? Chris Johnson now droppable in many leagues, but should you? Will Andrew's luck run out? Sorry about that, it was terrible. And do you dare make a move for a Colts running back? I'm Marcus Lashock, feature reporter at WGN-TV, joined now by sports producer Steve Lippo, once again via phone, although this time it is my fault, I should say. Steve, how are you?
I'm good. I'm relaxing on my couch, so no complaints here.
Yeah, I got bogged down with work. Of course, you have that strange schedule, and we couldn't get to this. And I had a flat tire yesterday, which I changed with my own manly hands.
I saw that. You know I come from a family of mechanics, right?
You do?
I do.
I should have called you then.
You should have. I would have done it much easier.
But
easier than probably you went through.
I did it all myself, and I drove it to the Costco and got new tires myself. I feel like a man.
You know what? You should actually be really proud, because I feel like no one knows how to change a tire anymore. So congratulations.
I only knew that because I had to call the motor club guy once and waited 2 hours, and I was sure to watch him do it. So that way, when I was in that situation next time, that would never happen again.
Well, that was smart of you. I congratulate you on your accomplishment. That actually is something to be proud of.
Anyway, I'm very excited, even though I'm 1-4 in the Fantasy Festivus League. I am excited because the Bears are 4-1, and we have some Bears highlights here from last week against Jacksonville.
Gabbert with time. Fires, and it is picked off by Charles Tillman. Tillman inside the 10, the 5, and he is in for a Bears touchdown. Cutler on first down to the Cutler on third down and 3, fires to the end zone, and the catch is made by Marshall for a Chicago Bears touchdown.
Everything that was going wrong for Chicago in the first half has gone right.
Pass deflected and picked off by Briggs for yet another Bears defensive score.
Well, so much for the offense catching up to the defense.
Yeah, they heard you, Kenny. What a competition.
All right, so you were pretty you were close with your prediction, Steve.
I was. You know, I really thought I was not going to be close after the first half. 3-3 at halftime. I was sitting there going, what the heck's going on, like every other Bears fan
and
out there.
And I was the guy saying it could be a trap game. And I'm like, at halftime, I was like, see, this is exactly what I was talking about. So we were both kind of right, but I'm glad that you ended up being the one right in the second half.
Yeah, it was half a trap game and half a blowout. So we're both right.
Now, there's some big news coming out of the game. Alshon Jeffrey, his hand, did he have a laceration on his hand, or did he break his hand? What happened with his hand exactly?
You know, no, there's reports out there that he's got a fracture. The Bears wouldn't confirm, in true Lovie Smith fashion, wouldn't even confirm that he'd miss any time, but it seems like he's going to. He didn't practice this week in the couple days that they were out there. He had his hand wrapped up after the game, kind of a soft cast. So it looks like he's probably going to miss some time. You know, early reports were 4 to 6 weeks. The Bears are now saying it's a minor injury. So it's probably a really good time for the bye week for him personally, but I could see him missing a couple games after still.
So that's it. I mean,
yeah,
I saw a quote from Lovie Smith where he said something like, "Oh, we hope to have him back this year." And I was like, "This year?
No, that's it. It's probably a 4 to 6 week injury max. If it is a fracture, like I said, now if it ends up being ligament damage or anything like that, then you know you're talking a longer term. But Alshon was all smiles at practice. Didn't look like he was too concerned about it. So I'm guessing a couple weeks and he'll probably be back.
Another monster game from Brandon Marshall. After a couple of weeks where, you know, he didn't have that big of a game, More of this going forward. I know their schedule is going to get a little bit tougher going down the line. I mean, they still have to play San Francisco, Houston, Green Bay again. Just how high are you overall on the Bears offense?
You know, I'm pretty high on it. They've been putting up points, and Marshall's been a big focus to the passing game. I really like what they can do when things are rolling on offense. Now, the problem is it's not always rolling on offense, but Marshall is the clear number one. The Bears finally have a legit number one receiver, and they seem to actually know how to use him. So I'm excited for the Bears offense down the stretch. It is going to be tougher, but you know what? If the Bears are in tough games and they're down, they got to throw. So I still expect big things from Marshall.
Cool. Anything else coming out of the game? I mean, we both talked about Matt Forte saying we weren't expecting him to have a huge game just because he was getting back into the fold. But after the bye week here, is it all systems go with him? You expect him to be back to his normal self, no leash, no nothing like that? They'll just let him go out there and run?
Well, they seem to be pretty fine throwing him out there against Jacksonville. He ran for 100 yards. I mean, I really did not see that coming. You know, they actually were playing him late into the fourth quarter with that huge lead just to get him to 100 yards, which is something I don't remember the Bears doing in previous years, is actually padding stats for guys. But they did, because we were all, you know, we were sitting back in the sports department watching the game going, why the heck are all the starters still in there? And Forte was at 98 yards. I think he had a 3-yard carry, and they immediately pulled him for Armando Allen. So they definitely were looking at getting him 100 yards. So he seems to be good to go. I know last week, you know, our apologies, or at least my apologies. I don't know if you feel sorry too, but I think we said start Chris Johnson over Matt Forte last week.
We might have said that.
I mean, that, wow, I really did not see that coming.
You just don't know, because he's got an injury and they're going into a bye, especially with a game like you said that was so out of hand in the second half that you figure he would have been sitting. So that the fact that they were playing him later. But, I mean, you know, Jacksonville's defense is arguably practice squad level on other NFL teams. So it might have been good to get him in there and play against an inferior opponent just to get the confidence built up, right?
Yeah, at the same time, who expects 500 yards of total offense out of the Bears?
Right.
I mean, you know, it was such an anomaly even for them. So it was a tough call last week, and we'll get to Chris Johnson again. But I think the only other thing I took from the game against Jacksonville is the airbag. They are really, really, really bad.
Terrible. All right, let's take a look at what happened around the rest of the league.
Reeves over the middle, and it's caught for the touchdown by Marcus Colston.
And what a difference Marcus Colston has made. He was huge last week in the Packer game, and is coming back with another big one now.
Again, Reggie Wayne to the top. We're going to continue to point out, where is he at? There he is. On second and 10, Manning going for the end zone, Cruz, touchdown!
Yeah, so some big games. Drew Brees, of course, had that huge game on Sunday night, breaking Johnny Unitas' all-time record. Can we get another shot of Sean Payton up in the booth?
Yeah, I think everyone, they wanted to really make sure that everyone knew he was there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because, you know, they didn't show him every 3 seconds. Like, I was hoping they would. And he looked so angry. Didn't he look angry?
He did look angry, like, I really should be down there coaching this team, but hey, they won, so, you know, it could have been worse. The other thing we noticed in the sports department, did you see who was in Drew Brees' personal, like, family box?
Yeah, I heard, I didn't see it. I was actually watching it on an airplane, but I didn't see this, but I heard Mark Pryor? Was he throwing a towel in the booth up there?
No, but he probably should have been. He was lounging comfortably and golf clapping his way to support.
Did anybody get to the bottom of that? Like, how do they know each other?
I guess they're just friends. I really have no idea. You know, it's just kind of one of those things where Mark Pryor is so out of the public eye at this point that everyone goes, huh, Mark Pryor, how about that? And then they move on with their lives.
Anyway, it was a big game for him. Brees and Marcus Colston had, how many touchdowns did he have? Did he have two? Three touchdowns?
He had three. Actually, in my other league, I have Brees and Colston. And just laughed Sunday night. It was the greatest game ever. But yeah, the Brees Colston combo, the Manning Victor Cruz combo, another huge game for those two. I think Andrew Luck, Reggie Wayne set a Colts record for receiving yards in a game. All those games with Peyton Manning.
Wow.
And Andrew Luck now is the man throwing the record. So,
you really have to give him credit, because going into this season, I mean, they don't have real aspirations to be a Super Bowl team. and you've got a rookie quarterback. He is not only is he catching balls, like he is making spectacular plays out there. I mean, he is really making Andrew Luck look great.
He scored the game-winning touchdown. For those who didn't see it, on a quick goal to go from the 7. He had about a 5-yard quick in pattern. He caught it and fought through 3 guys and reached the ball over the line to beat the Packers. I mean, it was like such a Herculean effort after already catching like 200 yards worth of passes.
So you
Reggie
think,
Wayne, give it up for him.
Andrew Luck, do you think going forward this is going to be the trend? I mean, is he only going to get better as the season goes along?
Well, it helps that he's got a number one receiver. That's something, you know, when rookie quarterbacks struggle, you look at Brandon Weeden, you look at Tannehill, you look at Blaine Gabbert, Jacksonville, who are they throwing the ball to? Nobody. So, Luck, they put him in a position to succeed, give him credit, and he's actually taking advantage of it. So, you know, rookie quarterbacks, the more they play, the better they get. So, you know, he could be, he's definitely a legit backup for anyone's fantasy team, but good for maybe a spot start down the line now, too.
For example, I'm in a league where I have Michael Vick, and I have Andrew Luck on the bench. It's a keeper league, so I drafted Luck to keep him for the future. But at this point, I'm looking at matchups now. Like, I'm going into next week wondering, maybe not this week, because I think Vick has a pretty decent chance to have a good game, but it's getting more difficult for me to keep Andrew Luck on the bench in that situation.
Well, Vick has been impressively bad.
He has, but he still ends up getting, from a real football point of view, he's been terrible. From a fantasy point of view, he usually ends up getting me high teens at least quarterback rating because he's running all over the place. He ends up with those touchdowns at the end of games.
Yeah, he's a garbage TD and yardage monster.
Right, so it's hard for me to bench him despite his 10,000 turnovers that he has. I mean, if he doesn't have those turnovers, he's having a great year.
I think Luck ends up being playable at this point against really, really bad defenses. So if he's got a matchup with Jacksonville coming up, or he's got a matchup with, you know, any of the other really bad defenses in the NFL, Cincinnati, whoever you want to call on, then you might want to consider it. But even an average defense, I'd probably still stick with Vic, or at least an established starting quarterback.
Like this week, we got the Colts are at the Jets, the injured Jets. And you have the who are the Eagles playing this week? Let me look this up. The Lions are at the Eagles. So, I mean, you have two not, like, the top defenses in the league. So who do you go in that sense? Like, where would you go? Would you go Vic or would you go Andrew Luck?
You know, I'd still go with Vic.
Yeah, and the Eagles are at home, too, so.
Just because the Jets, yes, they are banged up, but they just held the Texans to 24, I think it was, Monday night. So, or 23 points Monday night, so. You know, it's a tough call. Again, I've always been a proponent of don't overthink things.
Right.
Play the guys you drafted high. Let them take you. You know, maybe that's to a fall at some point, but I still like Vic as a fantasy quarterback better than Luck.
Right, and I always feel with Vic, you got to play him while he's either healthy or, in this case, before he's on the bench. Because at some point, it's going to get so loud.
At some point, they'll be fitting him for a flak jacket, and you'll be starting Luck without a choice. So.
Right. Anything else from last week that really stuck out to you? But Victor Cruz, as you said, I mean, that's the guy you got to start. I mean, what a tandem between those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's an obvious start there. There were a lot of interesting injuries last week. The Arizona running back situation we'll get to.
Ouch.
They lost Ryan Williams for the year. So now you're looking at a LaRod, Stephen Towling, William Powell combo coming up there. Donald Brown for the Colts is out a couple weeks. So I think the guy who's going to start there is I'm forgetting his name.
Where? In
Indianapolis. Yeah.
Vic Ballard.
Vic Ballard. Yeah. Thank you, Vic Ballard. Yeah. So some interesting injuries affecting things going forward, I think.
Well, let's get right into the sit start then, because that is one of the questions that Billy had for us this week. Do you start? He must be in a tough situation. He's got the backup question here. Vic Ballard or William Powell? Who do you go in that situation?
Well, you know, thinking about it, I couldn't remember his name, but I'm still going to take Ballard here because he is going to actually start. He is for sure the starting running
right.
back. Powell is still a question mark between him and LaRod Stephens-Howling for who's going to get the majority of the carries there. Now, it could end up being Powell. We're not really sure, but Howling has been the guy above him in the depth chart and is coming back from a hip injury, so I think you're going to see Howling get the majority of the carries, if I had to guess. So I'd go Ballard.
Yeah, over. I agree with that, too. And they're playing, as I said, at the Jets. So the Jets defense is definitely not the Jets defense it was a year, even 2 years ago. So I definitely go with Ballard in that case as well.
Yeah, so the Cardinals are playing Buffalo's defense, and Buffalo's defense is terrible. But Buffalo's defense has been terrible through the air. So,
all right. Patrick says, now that NFL.com, I guess that's where he's playing his fantasy, has lifted the cannot drop from Chris Johnson, should I or shouldn't I? I should point out that without a trade, there isn't much left on the available list to replace him with.
You know what? I say don't drop him. I have Chris Johnson in another one of my leagues, and I curse his name on a weekly basis. But at the same time, he is a clear-cut number one starting running back. There's not a lot of them out there, especially on the free agent wire.
Well, so, my thing is, you have guys who are underperforming. By all means, if you see an option out there on your waiver wire that's like, ooh, I'd really like to pick this guy up, then feel free to drop him in this case. But if you're admitting that there's really nothing out there, I wouldn't drop him just to drop him, because the upside is too high. Like you said, he's a number one running back. He just, toward the end of the year, who knows, he could have a lot of great games. And unless there's somebody out there that's, wow, I really want this guy, then I just say hang on to him, stuff him on your bench somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough call, but, you know, I've been there. I'm sitting there giving the finger to my computer monitor looking at Chris Johnson's stats. But, you know, you can't dump a clear number one running back for nothing on the free agent wire. If there's admittedly nothing out there, you got to hang on to him.
A question came in from Brian on Twitter, who asked me about Danny Amendola, and I'm in a situation like he's in a league where I have Amendola, and he's on my bench. He's going to be out for up to, 4 to 6 weeks, did they say, with this crazy clavicle injury that could have killed him? Did you hear that?
Yeah, very close to killing him.
That's insane. Just completely insane. But apparently he's okay, and they're hoping to get him back this year. But I'm in this league. It's a 12-team league where people have dropped Greg Jennings. People have dropped Dez Bryant. Do I hold on to Danny Amendola for 4 more weeks on my bench, or do I pick up a Dez Bryant who owners are just frustrated with these guys and they're dropping them?
If you've got options like Greg Jennings or Dez Bryant or clear starting wide receivers out there, then yeah, I'd say probably drop Amendola, and then if it's not working out in a couple weeks, you can pick Amendola back up. No one's going to jump on the free agent wire and pick up Amendola while he's hurt. So whether he's out 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, just keep an eye on that. I'd say, you know, if you have a really good option out there, go grab him. Why not? And Amendola is not a big enough name to have someone stash him away, you know, because even when he comes back, he's still a hit or miss wide receiver.
That's true. But if you're in a PPR league, I think it changes things as well. Because
no, I agree. I agree with PPR league, but, you know, Amendola is always hurt. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's a small white wide receiver. Like many, you know, in the vein of Austin Collie or any other small white wide receiver that keeps getting hurt, I don't think Amendola is a big enough draw to hold on to for 6 weeks with blind faith. You know, if you don't need another wide receiver and you're fine with who you have, and you don't need to drop them, sure. But if there's good options out there, starting wide receivers, Jennings, Bryant, anyone like that, then I'd say dump them.
Kristen has a trade question. I guess she already made this trade, but she says, what do you think about this trade? I'm giving Big Ben and Wes Welker for Brady and Macklin. She's got Cutler on her bench and Bolden and Decker as her other receivers. Maybe she hasn't made this trade yet. I'd read that wrong.
I thought about this trade. I actually saw this some posted on Facebook, right?
Yep. Hey, this comes from Facebook.
Yeah, I saw this earlier this morning, and I looked at it, and it seems to be pretty much the most lateral move.
Oh, totally. It's a really even trade. That's what's hard about it.
And, you know, I mean, hey, if you like Brady and Macklin more than Big Ben and Welker, then sure, I'd say do it. I don't really, you know, I think it's a complete toss-up. You're getting a better quarterback, you're getting a worse wide receiver. So,
but here's why I'm leaning to, I think the upside on the quarterback part of this trade is just a little bit lopsided, where I think Brady is clearly a better quarterback than Roethlisberger. I mean, the upside on Brady is a lot higher than Roethlisberger. I don't see him having a lot of 4 or 5
touchdowns. Definitely a better quarterback. But again, you're trading Welker for a guy Macklin who...
But you got to remember, Welker really picked it up after Hernandez went down. And Hernandez could be coming back as early as this week. So you wonder if that's going to eat into Welker's work.
It's possible, but, you know, I'm always hesitant on Macklin.
I definitely don't want to trade for Macklin, period.
Yeah, he seems to always be hurt. You know, if I could, what I would try and do is try and pair up Brady and Welker. If you're trading for Brady, try and keep Welker in the deal and trade somebody else to get Brady.
I love
my quarterback
starting
wide receiver combos on my team. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, you're sink or swim, though, with that.
I know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's.
But if it's Brady and Welker, I mean, it's guys who consistently put up points every week.
Yeah, I'm just, I own Welker in a couple leagues, and I'm really hesitant on that because I remember what it was like the first couple of weeks, and it was very frustrating.
Do you own him in our league? Because if so, you can trade him to me right now.
I do not think so. I definitely don't. My wide receivers, I'd love to have him right now.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So I guess that probably doesn't answer anything that she asked.
I'd say make the deal if you like players are getting better. It's a very even trade.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anything else going into this week?
Not a lot. It's the Bears bye week. Everyone's shutting it down in Chicago for a week. The Bears are off until Monday.
It feels good, though, because there have been so many Bears bye weeks where I've been worried that they were going to lose to the bye week. That's how bad they've been in past years. I always worried that the bye week somehow would end up in a loss. But that's not going to happen this time.
I would hope not, yeah. or else Roger Goodell has been swinging his power in ways where
that's true.
Or
like somebody was going to get hurt. You know, somebody was going to be at home walking down the stairs with the laundry and fall and pull something. You know, something was terrible was going to happen over the bye week. They were so bad, but now they're good. And my 12-4 prediction looks even better now. Maybe I should have went 13-3.
Who knows?
Right. Cool, man. Well, good luck in the Fantasy Festivus League this week. Did you win again?
You better believe I won again.
And you are what now? 5-0?
We've only had 5 weeks and I have 5 wins, so you can figure out the loss column for yourself.
This is the most lucky league for you ever. Is that true?
I have been lucky. Let's be honest. Last week I only scored 80-something points. I was only up 6 points going into the Monday night game. My opponent had Sean Green, who did absolutely nothing. It was Tab. I actually beat Tab.
Yeah, I beat Tab, too. Tab's having a rough go.
And then gloated at you and Tab both. Are you both 1-4?
I think so, but I beat him, so.
Congratulations.
I know. Feeling good.
I definitely have gotten lucky. I think I'm 5-0 with like the fifth or sixth highest point total, which that's a matchup friendly schedule.
Once again, I am optimistic, though, because I had 3 wide receivers on bye, my terrible planning during the draft. But they're coming back. Also, Ryan Matthews last week looked outstanding in that Sunday night football game.
Yeah, he's actually the number one running back. Go figure.
He looked really good. It only took 5 weeks of losing for me to get him going. So hopefully I can go on a run here. We're going to see if that happens or not. But just as a reminder, this week on the bye, you have the Panthers. You got the Bears, as we mentioned, the Jaguars, and the Saints. Be sure to check your lineups. Start. Guys that are playing, who are not playing. We've had some people in our podcast league who are not doing that, and that's very disappointing.
Very angered.
So make sure that I understand last-minute injuries and that sort of thing happens, but if a guy's on bye, get him on your bench. You can set your lineup well in advance. Make sure you do that, whether you're in our league or your own league. Please do that.
We will hit you on the wrist with a metaphorical ruler.
We will do that. And once again, you can email us all of your questions, fantasyfestivus@gmail.com, fantasyfestivus@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at Marcus Leshock. Steve, you're on Twitter at?
Steve Lippo.
L-I-P-P-O. Hungry, hungry Lippo. All right,
that's
man.
It.
Well, we'll talk to you next week and break down the Bears versus whoever they're playing. I haven't looked
it up. Sounds good. Good luck in week 6, everybody.